with us. Father Stephen Maloney is from the Church of the Intercessor in Malvern, New York, which is kind of like one of my second homes, and been a friend for a long time. Father Stephen is a great friend to CEC for Life and has done a lot over the years to support the ministry in many different ways, including helping write some of the prayers that are in our liturgy for the preborn, and just other ways where he's been a big support and a long time, like I said, a long time friend. And he's here this weekend because his daughter Elisha is going to be attending Samford University, and she's going to be doing her orientation tomorrow. So I asked him if he, you know, wanted to preach, and he felt like he had a word for us. So I was just really glad that that happened. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father Stephen, come on up. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Hopefully, hopefully you could hear my northern drawl. It is a blessing to be here. I'm humbled to be able to speak with you this morning. I wasn't really sure if I was going to speak when Father Terry asked me if I wanted to preach. You know, as a preacher, you kind of always want to preach in some ways, but I've always said, and I've said this many times, I don't have anything to say unless the Lord gives me something to say. You know, I'm more of an introverted person, so I want to make sure that if I'm going to preach, or have the opportunity to preach, I bring the Lord's words to you and not my own. So even with that, I pray that as the Lord speaks to us this morning, that you hear him and not me. And if my flesh gets in the way, just ignore it. But as I was just praying to see if the Lord wanted me to preach or not, the Lord I don't really do this anymore. I did it when I was an earlier Christian. When I opened up the Bible, I found myself in Jeremiah, and this word just was just like right there. And from Jeremiah 4, verse 1, it says, "If you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. If you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord." And just the first word just kind of, you know, stuck out, "if you" or "if you will." Just began to speak. There was something about those words that I felt like the Lord wanted to say. And even just walking up here this morning when I first came in, I just came up on the altar. And kind of like Jesus, you know, walking into the synagogue when he first started his ministry, and the scriptures were open for him. And here was Jeremiah, was right open. So I just took that as confirmation and that the Lord wanted me to speak on this. And the reading this morning from Genesis, where Adam is hiding, God comes to him, and he asks, you know, "Where are you?" Actually, probably a better translation is, "Why are you where you're at?" Not "Where are you?" but "Why are you where you're at?" Which is why some of the translations will say, instead of "Where are you?" it'll say, "Why are you hiding?" And Adam answers the question, you know, "This is why I was hiding." But the word "why," you know, the word "why" is a question that we normally ask God. We're always asking questions, "Why, O Lord, why?" You know, "Why, O Lord, why?" You know, it's this common question we're always speaking, "Why, why?" And there's always another "why." And the answers are usually beyond our comprehension, and God doesn't always tell us why. But sometimes God asks us why. You know, it doesn't happen often, but he'll ask us why, even though he knows the answer already. He asks us, and, you know, "Why are you angry, Cain?" You know, "Why are you hiding?" You know, and even Jesus, you know, "Why have you forsaken me?" You know, he knows the answer. But the question that God usually asks us, not so much in a direct question, but kind of in a phrase, he'll ask us a conditional question. He'll say, "If you," or "If you will," and you know, "If you keep my word, then you're truly my disciples." if you love me, you will obey me. There's always this condition that God hopes, God desires, God trusts, you know, because that's what love does. It almost expects, thinks of the best of, but yet there's still this uncertainty. There's still this uncertainty whether it will occur or not. It's like Jesus said, you know, he wouldn't entrust himself to Peter because he knew what was in man. There's always this uncertainty, you know, which is part of the word. And so in the story of here of Jeremiah, Jeremiah the prophet is, you know, is a spokesman for God. He was raised up before he was formed in the womb. Before he was born, he was set apart. And God commanded him, you know, to go wherever he would send him and to speak whatever he would give him to speak. And he would go and he would speak for God, which is what a prophet would do. He would be his spokesman. And but there are some times when the prophet then, he's speaking for God, and then sometimes he'll turn around and he'll speak for the people. He'll become the intercessor. He'll become the peacemaker. He'll become the one who seeks reconciliation. And he'll speak for God. You know, and God said, well, you know, and even when he tried, God said, even if Moses or Samuel came before me, I wouldn't listen. I'm determined to do what I'm going to do. But he would still plead. And he keeps calling the people of God back, but they would not listen, And then just before, you know, God says, if you will return, Jeremiah speaks in that role and he says, yes, we will come to you. Yes, we will return. And then God backs off and says, well, if you will return, return. You know, he wants us. He wants his people to listen to him, to follow him, to obey him, to serve him with all his heart, mind, and soul. But yet he waits to see if they will do that. If you will return, return to me. And, you know, there's this word, if you or if you will, appears almost 1,000 times through the scriptures, and either directly or indirectly. You know, even like, you know, choose this day who you will serve. You'll either serve me or you won't. If you obey me, you'll receive blessings. If you won't, there'll be consequences. And there's always this positive and this negative and this positive to the condition. For example, in the Old Testament book of Genesis, to Cain, God said, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Right? But if you do what is right, then you'll be acceptable to God. If you don't, or if you do. If you say you have no sin, then the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, right, he is holy and righteous and good to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's always this condition and always this, you know, negative consequence and positive blessing or reward for how we respond. But there's always a choice as to how we respond to God. And as I was seeking the Lord, one of the things that came up was a picture, you know, of a lemon. And God speaks like popcorn, you know. He does these things. He gives us dreams. He gives us visions. And like he spoke to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, I see the branch of an almond tree. And what God does is then gives his spokespeople, his prophets, the interpretation, the meaning. He explains it to them so that they can understand, so they can have comprehension. And the word the Lord gave me was this lemon, this half-cut, used-up lemon, like sitting on a countertop. And I had just recently had a gathering at my house, you know, so we had, you know, the drinks and the stuff, and, you know, so this picture was almost clear in my head. Here in my mind, but it was this half lemon used up, you know, and I was like, well, you know, what does it mean? and the Lord gave me this word, which I think is for you guys, that there is this sourness or the sour taste. There's a sourness, there's this lingering sourness that has been here because of the history of pastors and the issues with the pastors leaving and things that have occurred. And that there's this lingering sourness that has to be got rid of. That the lemon is all used up. It's time to throw it out. Okay? To get rid of it. And the reason why it's taken a year to find a new rector is because of the sourness. It wouldn't have been fair to him. You wouldn't be able to receive him. You wouldn't be able to trust him again. You wouldn't have been open. He wouldn't have been able to lead you, to guide you. You see? And so you may have had the question, well, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Okay? But now the Lord is saying, if you will, okay, if you will throw it out, if you will trust me again, okay, I will lead you to greater things. We will be able to do greater things together. Okay? And I was like, well, that's a pretty good word, Lord. But there was still something there. I still felt something in my spirit that there was more. And I was like, okay, so there was more. What more, Lord? And because the Lord had shown me, the issue with the last pastor, and Lord have mercy and grace upon us all. And the Lord said, but there was another pastor, that there were two lemons, he said. And that there was more, that it runs deeper. And that the issue wasn't just about the pastors, that the lemon was cut in half. And the Lord said that the pastors were only half the problem that he wanted to deal with. And he said the real problem, the real issue that God wanted to deal with was the issue of dependency. The issue of dependency upon the pastor. Amen. But looking to him and not just seeing him, that he's just a servant of the Lord. Like Paul would say, who's Apollos? Who's Cephas? Who's Paul? We're just servants of the living God. To follow Jesus. And that God wants to bring you to a new level of maturity as a people, individually and collectively, so that together with the pastor, as important as that role in the church is, and it is an important role, but the dependency can't be on him, no matter whether he's good or whether he's bad. Amen. Okay, that our dependency has to be on the Lord, and the Lord will lead you and guide you into the places that you're to go, and open windows, open doors, opportunities that God is going to provide for you as a church, individually and collectively, to do the work and the will of God. Amen. Okay? If you will let it go. Okay? If you will let it go and follow him and receive all that the Lord has for you. Amen? Amen. Well, open up to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you have your Bible, if you want to open up. If you don't, that's okay. Follow along. And I'm probably going to step away from the mic because I like to be mobile, or maybe not. And if I lose myself, then maybe I'll come back. But because I like to be mobile, and the gospel is incarnational. God didn't stay up, on his throne, right? He came down. And to the midst of us, okay? He didn't stay. He came down on our level. Okay? He came down to the ground floor, okay, to be with the people, to speak in the midst of the people, to get close, okay? To break that, I hate that song, from a distance. God is watching us. No, he's not. He's right there with you. Even Paul said, when everybody else abandoned me, the Lord was by my side. Okay, so the Lord's with you. Okay, whether you feel him or not, whether you're struggling or not, the Lord is always with you. It's impossible for God to lie. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, and he's close to us. He's close to our hearts. The word from Colossians chapter 1, it's a lot bigger than this, but I'll just read chapter 1 starting from verse 21 and maybe apropos because of the name of your church. It says, Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction. Am I in the right place? No, I'm not. Yes, I'm reading from the wrong verse. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of evil behavior. But because, I'm sorry, my contacts are freaking out on me here. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue, it has a word, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and has proclaimed to you, has been claimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. In the word, it speaks of standing firm in your faith and the hope that you have. And the journey of faith is a journey. You know, it's not just a walk around the block. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage, which can be arduous. It can include long distances, challenges, hardship. Okay? Paul, on his missionary journeys, would experience many traveling issues, many delayed flights, okay, missed ships, storms, okay, beatings, famine, right, nakedness. Okay, even at one point, I believe he was stoned to death and raised from the dead when the brothers prayed for him outside the city. And so we have these travails that are part of the journey. And Paul would say, you know, when he talks about, you know, he finished the race, you know, or that the race, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, okay, where there's times when it's, you know, you don't know if you're going to be able to take the next step. But you have to fight through it, and you have to fight through it, until you fight through it, until all of a sudden you get your wind again, you know, and all of a sudden you feel a little light again on your feet. But there is times when you have to struggle and strain to the end, to finish the race. And so we experience these things, these testings of our faith, these, you know, our hope gets knocked around. You know, and our love, you know, can diminish. Our love can grow cold. Okay? Love can grow cold. We can be, our love can be challenged. Right? And when I was my previous life, before I gave my life to Jesus, with my previous wife, who left me, abandoned me, she had her own lifetime issues, you know, that she struggled with, and she ended up leaving. And of course, it was very painful, the most painful time of my life, which I never expected to occur. And God brought it, God used that to bring me to him. So to God be the glory. And there was a number of years before I met Maria, okay, who's the mother of all my children, where there was a point where trying to discern whether to, you know, get involved. I was very cautious. I had made a lot of mistakes as a new Christian. I decided, unless I know she's from the Lord, I'm not playing with fire. I'm not testing, I'm not playing. I'm not dating, nothing. Unless I know she's from the Lord, I'm staying away. Okay? I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting my vision, you know, nothing. And so little by little, God started pulling our hearts together. We would do, you know, singles ministry together. We would do mission work in the city. And God just began drawing my heart to her. And where I found myself looking for her, like, oh, wow, I'm looking for her. You know, I knew it was God. And there was one point we were back in her parents' house in Queens, New York, Fresh Meadows, in the backyard. We're kind of having a family-friend barbecue thing. And Maria's a real go-getter. She was shooting hoops on the basketball on the garage. And I'm sitting there laying in the hammock. This is nice. Under the apple tree. And just struggling. You know, God was speaking to me. And I knew she was waiting for me to make a move. But I was afraid. You know, I had been hurt, and I was afraid. I was afraid to risk again. I was afraid and of committing and going forward into the next phase of life. You know, the door, the opportunity that was there, that God was offering me. An opportunity. He wasn't forcing me. He was offering it to me. Okay? And the words that he said were, if you want her. Okay? If you want her, she's for you. She's yours. So I took a big breath. And I got up out of the lounge and he said, if you want her, you have to get in the game. And so I joined her on the basketball court. Okay? And got in the game. And got back in the game. Okay? And sometimes we have to do that individually or even as a church. Right? We got to get back in the game. We got to put behind us the hurt. We got to put behind us the past. Okay? Turn around, leave the past behind, as Paul said, and go forward. Okay? To whatever it is that God has for us. Okay? To learn about the love of Christ, to know him in his sufferings, to even know him in his resurrection. Okay? To embrace whatever it is that God has in store for us. Okay? But it's a journey. And God gives us choices. He gives us choices. He says, you know, in the Gospels, if anyone would come after me. He doesn't say you have to come after him. He says, if you would follow me, then there's a must. See, the must is in the back end. But in the front end, it's a if you will follow me. See, the decision has to be made. See? Jesus made the decision in the garden. Jesus made the decision before he left heaven. I've come to do your will, O Lord. And the decision was made. Now, of course, challenges will come along the way. And they will. Through many hardships, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? But we have to respond to that question constantly. If you will. If you will. And I struggle with that firsthand because part of the ministry the Lord has called me to, living where I live, is to go into the darkness, into the subways in New York City, and to witness there, and to evangelize, and to preach, and to prophesy, and to do things around New York that were beyond my wildest imagination. Okay, and you know, God had to work me and raise me up and grow me in that ministry. But there were always challenges to it. And there were times when I would, like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. You know, it's like, you know, because you're exposed, you know, and you're mocked and you know, and you're spit upon and you're yelled at, and you don't know if someone's going to push you off the platform as you're standing there, you know, preaching and teaching and witnessing or if you're going to be arrested. You know, there's been some, you know, engagements and stuff like that with priests. And so as I would struggle in my mind and in my heart, I was like, God, this is hard. You know, God, this is hard. You know, you would hope it would be easy. But it's like, you know, God calling, you know, us to die to ourselves. And I was going to be like, so this is love. So this is love? Doing that which you don't want to do? Right, doing that which you don't want to do. Amen. This is love, because Jesus wants to do it. Because Jesus says, "Where I am, then my servant will be." And will you follow me? Will you pick up your cross? So in order to follow him, you have to pick up your cross. You have to accept doing those things you don't want to do. As he would tell Peter, "You're going to go where you don't want to go. You're going to be led where you don't want to be led." You will drink the cup. Okay? So this is just part of the call of the cross, because in that, embracing the cross and experiencing the cross is where you learn about the love of God and about the love of Jesus. It's where it really becomes real. Because it's like, wow, this is something Jesus would do. It's not what I would do. I don't want to do it. I mean, part of you does. You want to follow Jesus, you know. But your flesh and your spirit fight, you know, they fight against the Holy Spirit. You know, and you got to pray in the Spirit to build up your faith and in order to be faithful and to walk it out. But that's where you learn the love of Jesus, because you can see that your love doesn't compare to His. Amen. That we all fall short of the glory of God and of His Son. And so that when you actually do what God tells you to do, or wants you to do, then you just say, glory to God. Because you know it was Him who did it in and through you. You know, Paul would say, I come to you in fear and trembling. You know, I pray that the Lord give me the words to speak so that I can preach the word of God fearlessly as I should. And then when God gets a hold of you, then you do it. Then you move out in things in supernatural ways you never thought you could or would do, because God is with you. Even this past week, I went down to Jamaica Station, which is halfway into Manhattan. I get off there, which is kind of my base from which I work from, where the Lord, you know, has put me. And as I went down to the Jamaica Station, you know, you have to discern what's going on, you know, spiritually. And this time, there were about 15 policemen on the platform. I was like, okay, Lord, you know, we're dealing with authority and power, and I've preached in front of policemen before, but this time was something different. There was 15 men there, and I'm kind of walking, trying to discern what the Lord would have me do, waiting on the Lord, the Spirit. And all of a sudden, there was just this homeless man, this young homeless man, like in his late 20s or 30s. And he was just sitting there on the bench about 10 feet away from the police. And I was just going with the flow, and I just went right up. I didn't hesitate. And I had to breathe through my mouth because it was horrible. And I'd never seen as many bugs on a man in my life. You know, homeless man, filthy, smelly, hefty bags, the whole nine yards. And I just said, I'm going to pray for you. And I just put my hand on him, ignored the smell, the bugs, the things that were falling out of his hair, and just kept praying in the Spirit. Just praying. And I stayed there as people would walk around and stare and watch and observe, and the police kind of, you know, what's this guy doing? And one guy came over and just, I didn't believe he was a witness to the police. You know, even how to treat the homeless and stuff. But I just kept praying. And I was there for like a half an hour as people came, people went, people came. And then I just started praying, okay, Lord. And why am I here? You know? And the man wasn't speaking. When the cop, you know, tried to get him to respond to him, he just, you know, and he wasn't talking. And I just kept praying. I just felt like, you know, I felt like he had multiple demons. And I just kept, and it was a battle. I just kept praying, you know, release him. You got to let him go. You got to let him go. And you're talking to the demon, and you're talking to the person at the same time. You got to let him go. It's been long enough. Okay, it's time. Let go. Release him. Let him go. Just kept going. You know, and then finally, you know, there's a point where he started falling in the Spirit, you know, and there was this release. And I was like, that was it, you know. And I think there was more there, but that's all the Lord wanted me to do. And I walked away, and he came after me, and he said, How did you know? I said, the Lord knows. Okay, and then I got back on the train to go. But the thing is, the point of the message is that God is always willing. Jesus is always willing. Okay, like the leper who came out of nowhere and disturbed Jesus in the course of his ministry, as he was ministering, and he came out of nowhere and probably kind of took Jesus by surprise and said, if you are willing, you can heal me. And he's always willing. The answer is always yes. God is always willing. Always willing. There's never a question of whether he's willing or not. It's just a question of whether it's his will. Okay, Jesus asked the question, Lord, Father in heaven, if you are willing, but not what I will, not what I want, but if you will. If you are willing, take this cup from me. but not my will. Let your will be done. So sometimes God withholds because he has a reason, because he has a plan, right? There's a delay in getting a new pastor because there's a reason. And when we keep saying, why, Lord, why? Why does this have to happen? Why does this have to occur? Why do I have to wait? Why can't I get what I, you know, what we're longing for? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to? It has to be in the will of God. It has to be in the will of God because God is always willing. And so we need to have the confidence individually and collectively to know that this is the position of God. Okay? And that even if we don't get what you want or when you want it, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Okay? God never says, if I love you. Never says, if I want you. He always loves us. He always wants us. God never questioned the love of his son, if you love me. He never had to. He knew the love of the son. And Jesus said, I love the Father, and I do exactly what he commands me to do. I love the Father, and the world will know that I love the Father because I do exactly what he commands me to do. See, so with Jesus, there's never an if you or if you will. See, but with us, sometimes there's an uncertainty. Do you love me, Peter? You know that I do, Lord. Well, then feed my sheep. If you will, then do it. Right? Do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? He's got to challenge our hearts. He's got to challenge our faithfulness. Okay? And he hopes and he desires and he believes that we will. He entrusts things to us. He thinks the best of us. He says, I think the best of you, the writer of Hebrews said. Things that accompany salvation. That you will continue in the faith. Okay, that you will add to your faith. Right? Goodness, kindness, perseverance, self-control, love. Right? And if you have these things in increasing measure, you will be effective and fruitful. If you don't have these things, you've forgotten. Right? But if you have these things, you will receive a rich reward. If you. And so I believe God is calling you, Church of the Reconciler, to greater things, greater opportunities. Amen. Invitations all over the place. Bishop Hannington, I was listening to all the sermons over the last 5 weeks online, listening for, you know, what God was saying. And, you know, Bishop Hannington saying, we have incredible opportunities for you in Africa to come. And you look at everything that they've been through. Oh, my God. The wars and the death and the homelessness and the orphans. And his spirit is still up here. And saying, inviting you to come, join in with me. Opportunities. Opportunities overseas. Opportunities around the block. God has all these opportunities for us to serve him, if you will. If you will. So we want to grow to that point where we say, we love the Father. We love the Father. And we're going to do exactly what he commands us to do. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord.